Welcome to Generation Now, the show by and for millennials and Gen Z on WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm your host, Troy McDonald. I've been interviewing people in some capacity for the last 15 years, which is crazy to think about. And there are some guests that I've encountered through different interviews that I've done over the years that leave an indelible mark that you truly end up seeing such a bright future for. And my guest today was one of those people for me. She was named Miss Outstanding Teen Wisconsin in 2013 and continues to be pushing the industry as a model. She's headed to LA this August. Please welcome model and singer Jamie Nicole Moreland to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm sure that that time when you were Miss Outstanding Teen Wisconsin 2013 was very like a whirlwind for you. I met you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I did an interview with you at the Battle of the Badges all those years ago, which if you don't know, is a boxing event for raising money for childhood leukemia, which is a very fantastic, really good event. What was that like at that time? Do you even remember that interview? You were probably so busy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that that time definitely went by in a whirlwind, like you're right. I mean, you know, doing a bunch of appearances and that sort of thing. So, you know, it was, I mean, my interviews kind of, you know, came and went and, you know, I mean, I'm glad, you know, to have been in an environment where we were raising money for something important. And yeah, I mean, I don't remember much else other than that. You're right. It was a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm. So let's start from the beginning. When was there a moment when the light bulb went off for you, when you realized I want to be in this industry, I'm going to be a model?
Yeah. So, basically my number one passion is singing. And unfortunately fortunately for me, I actually loved growing up in Racine, Wisconsin. I think it's great. But I don't have connections in the music industry. So my rationale was, let me join this industry and maybe find, you know, people that work on music. And thankfully I've seen both of those, but, definitely with modeling, I mean, it was so much fun. I used to be such a tomboy. I actually, you know, you mentioned pageants. I signed up for my local pageant on the very last day that you could possibly sign up for because I just didn't want to wear makeup. I didn't think dresses were cool. Like I was, you know, I was climbing trees and just not at all interested in any of that stuff. So it's funny that now I model and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love, you know, makeup, hair, and, you know, but it's, you know, I think it sort of clicked after doing pageants and stuff and like getting photos taken all the time. I really love to learn being in front of the camera. I always had a passion for singing and being on stage, but as far as actual camera work, that was the first time was doing pageantry. And when I was probably, I think 10 or 11, we had this opportunity to go to California for the National American Miss program. And I placed fourth runner up, I think, in the top model category. And that was the only thing I placed in was just that. And then my high school superlative was most photogenic. So I was like, oh, look at all these things. Like all these little things are building up to what I should do. And, you know, it's cool to see that other people kind of recognize that as well. But yeah, I mean, I learned to be really comfortable in front of the camera and it kind of feels like self-expression, you know, you get to convey, some people might look at a photograph and not see that, but you know, to me, I see emotion and I see, you know, just someone being able to tell a story through an image. It's so powerful. And, you know, it's part of what I really like about modeling.
That's so interesting. This is completely off topic, but this is my show. So I could say whatever I want. But it was very similar for me. I grew up hating professional wrestling, and my audience knows that I'm a huge wrestling fan now. And it's just weird how, as we get older, things that we once had no inkling for suddenly become a major part of our lives.
Right. And so I aversion. Really it just.
Yes.
It, you know, it kind of opens itself up. And, you know, I think it's kind of like a metaphor for life in a way. you know, we push so hard against some things that are good for us. And, you know, I think that that's a beautiful thing. I mean, you figured it out. I figured it out. And I'm happy to be where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a moment where you felt fear about this? You said that you literally were named most photogenic in school. And so you felt like all of these little things were building towards that. But was there ever any self-doubt as you were first entering this world?
Oh my gosh, yes. And the thing about modeling is my rationale, you know, whether it's going out to get signed, like I'm planning in LA or, you know, booking jobs, you can get put up as an option. My rationale, it's a industry of rejection. So I say, if I get put up for 20 things, I'll get one of them. And I applied to more than 20 modeling agencies. I can't tell you how many agencies I applied for multiple times leading up to it. And I was so grateful that The Rock picked me up because, you know, as much as I'm going to be honest, you know, I am kind of proud of myself because I didn't give up. And I think that a lot of people will try one thing one time. And it's a very intimidating thing. Like I said, some people get into the industry with connections. I had none. And so for me, I just kind of had to keep trying and not give up. You know the song The Climb by Miley Cyrus?
Of course.
I love that song so much. And, you know, it's just got to keep your head held high and know that, you know, in time, if it's meant to be, it's going to be, and it's going to be awesome. And I've had a really great experience since then. I loved being in front of the camera since then. I think that, you know, with everything, as much as confidence as you can have, there's always that self-doubt. I'm really scared to go out to LA. I know you mentioned it. I am so excited, but I'm also very scared because it's a new world for me. And again, you know, I have connections through the agency, but I don't personally have anyone that I even know out there. So it's a big leap and there is that self-doubt, but I think my confidence, you know, Gary Vee, there's some quote of his, I probably not going to say it verbatim, but basically, you know, a lot of people are more scared of failure than they are have the desire for success. And to me, I just, that hit home with me so much. And that is why I keep going because I want that success more than I have this fear of failure.
Goosebumps, people, goosebumps. So let's talk about your family and your support system, because there's, I don't believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you will. I don't think you can do what you're doing without a tremendous amount of support and love, maybe not even from family, but from a core nucleus of people, because for everyone, family is different, and I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. But there has to be some support system that guides you through, that encourages you through this. So what did your parents or family or that nucleus think about you entering these pageants to begin with? And what do they think now as you're on your way halfway across the country?
I'll start with my mom. My mom is my biggest inspiration and definitely, you know, I hope to be a reflection of her. She was my motivator to get into pageants. Like I said, I signed up on the very last day with her encouragement. She was very excited about pageantry because I was able to get scholarship. I actually went to the University of South Alabama for 3 years on a full ride scholarship. And so that was huge, especially, you know, seeing what student loans are like and everything. It was really great to have that experience. And, you know, that made me really appreciative and made me trust her opinion more. However, I will say that with moving halfway across the country to do this, I think she's a little bit more tentative. There have been a lot of people in my inner circle that are like, you know, are you sure? Do you want to wait? But, you know, I appreciate their support in any way, because I think that they think I'm going to make it too. I think they believe in my ability to succeed. And it's just how people express love. You know, I know my mom loves me very much. I know that much. And she, you know, wants the best for me. And not everyone has the same vision of what the best for you is, but that's okay. You know, as long as you have your core central idea and you know what you're going after, I know that she wants the best for me in terms of success. She just might not see the same pathway that I do. But, you know, I want to get there, and I can take all of that energy, whether it's positive, technically, it's positive energy. But I just want to take all of that and use it as my foundation to step into my next part of life.
You said something so powerful in what you just said, your statement there. We spend so much time, especially parents, spend so much time creating a vision for their child. And the moment that that changes, some parents don't know how to react to that. And a lot of children dim their own lights and dim their own vision to fall in line with the parents' vision. And what I'm hearing you saying, and what is so important for our listeners to hear, especially our young listeners, is that you're not letting go of who you are and who your vision and what your vision is. You're not letting go of that. That is so important. And the message I want people to understand is that when things go your way and the universe is always in alignment with your purpose, they'll come around, but you have to stay true to your vision.
Absolutely.
Is there a moment when you knew you got the pageant thing down? When you gained confidence?
So I had a really interesting experience actually with that, because my sister was Miss America's Outstanding Teen. So she won the whole thing. She took the whole shebang, and I won the state title, and then I was top 10 at nationals. And I remember preparing for it. I was preparing for state, and it was actually this really cool transformation in my life, because growing up, I was always the little sister. I felt like I was kind of living in her shadow, and I thought that everyone wanted, they would call me the next Jeanette. And so I wanted to be her. And I thought, you know, how would she answer this interview question? So I actually was not doing interviews very well, because I was like, what would she say? And then, you know, like talent, I wasn't performing the same way that I naturally would, because I wanted to be somebody else. And that's not how you can live life. And it's kind of hard when she's right there and you can continually see, what is she doing? Everyone thinks she's successful. How can I do this? But it was really cool, because one day it just sort of clicked that the judges, I mean, anybody, they didn't want to see me be someone else. They didn't want to see how good I can act like someone else. They wanted to see me. Like, I have valuable things that I can bring to the table too. And I don't have to be someone else to do that. And so once I won an interview award at nationals, I won it at state too. I just, you know, I mean, that's like often one of the scariest parts that people think of pageants is interviews. And I went in there just confidently me. And I think that, you know, whether or not anyone's like going through pageantry or anything else, like, be authentic to yourself. That's like the biggest thing. When I got top 10 at nationals, I ended up having a really bad sore throat. Like, my mom was like, oh my gosh, get a doctor. Like, it was bad. So my talent did not come out the way I wanted my talent to come out. But I remember still being proud of myself. And I thought, you know, I had to win. When I originally signed up, I thought, I have to be Miss America's Outstanding Teen. And I walked away being Jamie Nicole. And I think that that's, you know, that made it worth it 20 billion times over.
That's really interesting. There have been, and again, you can't speak for all pageants, but there has been a reckoning with a lot of the industry that it has perpetuated images of young women potentially in a negative light. You came up in that era as you are a young woman yourself. How did you navigate not losing who you were in what that pageant world is, if that makes sense?
Oh, it's definitely difficult. I mean, I can't look at you and tell you, hey, it was super easy. And I was, you know, growing up with that, there is pressure. I mean, I, at 13 years old, was told that, you know, I needed to lose some weight. And, you know, I was 13 and I was doing fitness routines. I wasn't even doing like swimsuit stuff. And, you know, you look at people want to highlight the negatives of the industry, I think, a lot. But there are so many valuable things that I just hung on to that positive energy. You know, I'm like a big believer in energy and the universe and everything. And, you know, like, the world is energy. And I just gravitate so much toward the positive energy that negative stuff and the things that people want to throw at me, they can't. because I have this wall of positivity built up, this wall of energy that's protecting me. And so, you know, the negative things that people can say to me about me, you know, in the industry, you know, having been part of it, you know, you get all that stuff. There was so much opportunity for me to fall because of it. And instead I rose, and I'm really proud of that.
That is so powerful. And I just want to drill down a little bit on that, because how did you create that connection with the universe and not allowing yourself to be affected and afflicted by those things? How did you start building that wall within yourself so that would not bother you?
I mean, honestly, it's going to sound really stereotypical, but like listening to podcasts was a big thing that I did, listening to some self-help books. And it was just those little pieces, because I might listen to a whole book and find one line that resonated with me, or like one podcast from Gary Vee stuck out to me so much. I've watched more since then, but that is the one piece that stuck with me. And just picking up these little bits and pieces, when you actively search for positivity, when you actively search for the good things in life, you're going to see them far more, and you're going to recognize, hey, you know, I've gone through some really dark times. I mean, we all have, and you just got to seek out the good. You just have to, because otherwise, if you let go, I kind of think of it like hanging on to a kite, and you know, the wind is blowing. The wind is always blowing. If you let go of that kite string, you're just going to blow away, and it's, you know, you're going to lose control of your life. So you just need to hang on, hang in there, and, you know, stay grounded in some of that stuff. And if you choose to be grounded in positivity, that's what you're going to reap.
That is so true, because that is my life. And I think the lives of so many people who are listening. When I was homeless and was going through everything that I was going through, it could have been very easy for me to completely give up at that point. But for me, I said, okay, this is the situation I'm in right now. What is my future? What is the plan to continue moving forward? And from that moment to now be in the middle of my thesis process at Harvard, it's like, what? I couldn't have even envisioned that for myself. But it all started, like with you, that connection to the universe and knowing that this negativity shall pass. Mm-hmm. Right. And that connection has always guided me through.
I will say another quote that I really hung on to, just as far as like we were talking about dark times. I just think I love people to hear this. So your listeners, you were assigned this mountain to show others that it can be moved. And for you, I think you definitely did that in your own life. You're just explaining that. I mean, you know, we were given these tasks for a reason, and it could be really hard at the time, but you know, I'm excited to share with you how I developed into my own self, you know. And even though that wasn't like my darkest trial or anything, it was still a trial that I had. And you know, maybe someone listening can resonate with that. You know, my platform actually was Make Your Message. And so it's all about taking those negative experiences and turning them into positives, because if you learn something from something, some experience you had, if you learn something, it's not a mistake.
We are, believe it or not, halfway through the program. This is Generation Now on WGTD-FM. I'm Troy McDonald. I'm joined by model and singer Jamie Nicole Moreland, who is talking about her journey as she heads to LA, former Miss Outstanding Teen Wisconsin in 2013. You mentioned earlier that you are heavy into music. You are a singer. You've posted several covers that I've watched over the years. How does that process come about? How do you pick a song that you're going to cover or an original that you're going to write? Talk about that discovery process.
Oh, it's so difficult to pick a song to cover. It is so difficult because there's so many good songs and I want to record all of them. I'm actually really excited about the place that I'm staying at in LA because they have a recording studio. So that's why I haven't been putting up covers lately, because I was like, I'm just going to wait till I get out there and make a really good production. As far as songwriting, I've actually been writing since the age of 12. So believe it or not, I've written over 400 songs. That to me is just the most meditative, cathartic thing you can have, because to make your mess your message, I mean, to go along with that, I just take every experience that I have, and I write positive songs too. They're not all negative songs, but you know, songs about love, of course, you know, perseverance, that sort of thing. It's an encouragement to myself as well. And I love being able to put it into an artistic form to share with other people. And I think, you know, I might be writing about my experience, but I'm writing about an emotion too that other people have experienced. So it's not just my story, it's other people's story that they can resonate with. I love sharing my music. I love sharing originals because it's so cool to me when people really can resonate with that stuff. And it's like, oh, you know, I went through this experience. You went through something similar. Look at us. Like we can relate on that level.
And that's really some of the best songs do that for me. Now, as everyone knows who has listened to the show, I love Mariah Carey. She is my favorite singer.
Yes.
And one of her songs I would sing all the time and I would cry and everything else was Hero by Mariah Carey. And listening to that song, it made me believe that I could be the hero in my situation, that I could uplift myself to a higher plane. And that's what great music does, is that it connects us to the humanity of ourselves to realize our true potential, our true power. And so that is so true. Are there some favorites that you've done over the years where you're like, wow, I'm really proud of that cover, I'm really proud of that song? Maybe that's hard to pick out of 400 songs you've personally written, but are there some covers or songs you've written that you're like, ah, this one stands kind of a cut above?
Ones I wish I could share with you now. I have my favorites. Backup Plan is my mom's favorite. That one's about being a backup plan for someone, you know, number two, the one that they want kind of, but not all the way. They want someone else more. I Know Too Much is about, you know, I wrote that after my parents' divorce. Like I said, it's a very cathartic way to release emotion because it's like, I know too much about love to want to be in it. Trying to think of a happy one now. Oh my gosh. My brain's like flooded with songs. I don't want to like go with two negative ones. I'll think of one and come back to you.
Okay. One of my favorites that I listen to. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
There are two songs that I really want to cover and I'm so excited to go out to LA and record them in that recording studio. One of them is Gravity by Sarah Bareilles. And then the other one is Dangerous Woman by Ariana Grande, because she has a G5 in there. And that was a note that I never thought I could hit. And I've been working through voice lessons and I've hit it so far. I don't have it sounding perfect yet, but I've been working on it. And it's so nice to see my improvement from when I started vocal lessons to it. You know, I grew up thinking, oh, yeah, I'm a singer, whatever, you know, I can sing, but there are so many technicalities and things you can learn from even taking lessons on one of your passions. And so, yeah, those two songs I am most excited to record, and they'll probably be my first ones to publish.
Wow. Dangerous Woman. That's a big song.
I know.
G5. Oh my goodness. Woo.
I used to think C was my highest note that I could go to. So yeah, I mean, it's a jump, but I'm excited to do it. I've, you know, worked on my range so much, and a lot of it, I mean, singing, so many things are a mental game and just thinking, you know, what do I believe I can do? And I love that about that craft. And it's something I wouldn't have learned if I didn't start taking lessons.
And that's important too, that, and I think we, especially this generation, millennials and Gen Z, we are taught to believe because of social media that everyone is just instantly famous. And
right?
That good it's easy, things. Right? And good yeah. at things, right? And it's like, no, you actually have to perfect your craft, and that takes mm-hmm. time and effort.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And you know, one of people ask you all the time, describe yourself in three adjectives and whatever. And one of them that I always go with, well, competitive is my first one. I am a Leo, but I'm tenacious. I think that, you know, if I want it really bad, I'm going to go after it. And I always, in the back of my mind, Dangerous Woman was always a song I wanted to sing. And I am just going after it full force because I know that you know, I can accomplish that. It's a possibility for me because it's been possible for other people. So why can't I do that? And I think that, you know, as much as we look on social media and we see people with their, you know, they can bend backwards or do some cool dance move that, you know, you see and you think, wow, they can just do that. I can't, you know, it feels discouraging sometimes, but you need to use that as encouragement and know, hey, there was a lot of work that went into that, but it was possible. So if it's possible for you, it's going to be possible for me too, if I want it bad enough.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this big move. You're headed out to LA. You're going to be living, I think you just said, in a space where there is a recording studio attached.
Yes.
So talk about why you came to this decision and why now?
So I talked with the head of the agency, which first of all was scary in and of itself, but she's actually so sweet. But hearing that I was meeting with the head of the agency, it was funny. I just one day was talking to a photographer and she was like, oh yeah, I can hook you guys up, because I told her, you know, I'd eventually like to move. And I was actually thinking that I would go to Miami. That was where my thought process was, that I'd go there for 3 months. And then the door opened for me to have this conversation with the agent, and she told me first to go take a photo shoot down in Miami. So I did. I came back and she said, you know, looking at the photos and everything and looking at you as a composite, I had some monologues out there. And, you know, I sing. So she was like, I really think LA is a place for you. And so I just kind of took it and ran. She was like, can you do it in a month? And I said, yes. And then turns out I needed a month and a half. So I was a month and a half that I'm going out there. But yeah, I mean, with her encouragement and you were mentioning like that nucleus of people around you. I don't have the same like personal one-on-one relationship with them, but I know that they're there supporting me and I know that they believe in me and they see something in me. That was the reason that they even interviewed me to start with. And, you know, I think you just have to take that and run with it, because no one else is going to make it happen. I'm never going to be 23, almost 24. I'm never going to be this age again. I'm never going to have as little commitment as I do right now. You know, I don't have a family. I don't have kids. I don't have, you know, a partner or anything. I can just go. And I need to make that happen, especially, you know, for our younger listeners out there. I mean, it's scary. Yes, it's very scary, but it's also rewarding in the sense that you can make something happen. And it's just, I keep saying it's happened for other people. So I know that it's possible. And I know that I can make that happen if I want it bad enough.
Well, we are winding down to the final moments, believe it or not, of this program. It has just flown by. And I have one final question for you. What brings you the most hope?
Why would you save such a tough question for last? What brings me the most hope? I think that I just have such a desire for something better. I take every negative thing that happens in my life. I've had a lot of things happen that, you know, I think everyone's experienced traumas. Everyone, you know, knows what it's like to be in pain. And for me, my desire to succeed in spite of that is probably my biggest drive. Because I don't want to have lost because I let things cause me to lose. So that probably is my biggest drive, is just, hey, that quote I said earlier, you were assigned this mountain to show others that it can be moved. I want to be able to say that on a larger platform. I want to be able to show other people, you know, hey, I've been through this thing too, and it's okay, and you'll make it through too. You know, that's such a huge thing for me, and something that I definitely want to see happen. So I'm going to make it happen.
Well, I cannot thank you enough, Jamie.
Nicole, oh my gosh, Moreland, thank you.
I wish you tremendous success, and I'm so glad that we've had the chance to hear your story. It is so impactful. How can people keep in touch with you?
My Instagram handle is Jamie Nicole Moreland. And then my Facebook is Jamie Nicole Moreland too. I have a page on there if you're interested. And then you can just search my name on YouTube if you want to check out my YouTube channel.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jamie Nicole. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Until next time. Bye, everybody. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion